go to thecognitiverampage.com. Keep fueling the change. Help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support. Love you.
The Cognitive Rampage, a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and life optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage podcast. We're live, Christina.
Hello.
Christine.
Christina.
I know. Christina. You yelled at me last time for that. Can you believe that?
No.
That's hilarious.
Come on. Why would I remember that? We were high.
Yes. Anytime I reference that podcast, I tend to say two things.
What?
I got called out on some funny shit directly many times, the most I've ever been called out on a podcast.
Oh.
And I have never been able to mugged. And so I could not keep up with you.
I was going to say, whenever you're ready, play it.
Yeah, I bailed on that one. But I was telling people this on this morning's podcast that I didn't realize that you were episode 30. We mm-hmm. were like, now you're 197, 98.
I know. Congratulations. You've gotten popular.
Oh, no.
I know.
That means I'm sucking.
No.
But my point was, is yes. we had no video. We weren't running through YouTube at all. So we just recorded and then put it on the podcast. So it's on iTunes and everything, but
yeah.
No one's ever actually met you from the TCR that's listened, right? So
right.
Everyone, this is
Christina
Cusack. I was getting you that full name in there.
Yes.
But it's good to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to see you too.
How you been?
Been good. Been doing good. Been going through a lot of ups and downs in terms of emotions and relationships and craziness. But, you know, I'm pulling together. It's a lot of things going on all at once. It becomes a little overwhelming to me, but to any normal person, no big deal.
Yeah. And just to reference a couple people that may not have heard episode 30 or know, if you would just kind of run down, you know, who you are, what you do, what you stand up for, and then we'll keep diving in.
All right. Excuse me. All right. Well, I am a marijuana legalization activist, primarily with the medicinal marijuana. Now, all of that came from 2009, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I was placed on several drugs to handle the pain. I, in one instance, was prescribed Oxy. And
Jesus.
I know. And I took one pill and it took me out for the day. And that was it. So I was like, I can't do this. You know, I can't live this way. So my girlfriend's like, here, try this. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And lo and behold, you know, I was like, I feel better.
Yeah.
I want to eat something, you know, and got, you know, got that extra, you know, reason to live feeling.
You're talking about cannabis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what she offered me. And, you know, and it worked. And from then on, I have been pushing. I've done research. I have been following lots of different stories about different people around the country who have tried different strains, and it has cured certain strands of cancer, certain tumors have gone. I mean, there it does have a lot of beneficial qualities. And I, you know, my whole campaign, you know, was originally to get it legalized here in Florida medicinally. And that was where it was when I first came to you. Yeah. It hadn't been legal yet.
Yeah, yeah. I caught Danny knew of you, my good friend, best friend there. He knew of you. And then I caught you on Channel 6. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, it's the same. Oh, got to have her on. And, you know, we walked down, and that was what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, where medical marijuana was at the time in Florida, it was nowhere. It hadn't been legalized yet. They were trying to vote on it. And now we have legal, right? Now we have medical.
Medicinally, yes. And the kicker is they did legalize it medicinally for terminal patients. They were allowed to have it. And it wasn't until the representatives proposed a bill that had included several ailments, including multiple sclerosis, to cancer, to AIDS, to all of those, you know, different illnesses that don't really have any cures or proper treatments, especially like epilepsy. That's a really big one that, you know, people, you know, I see these families, you know, and they have kids, and their poor daughter, you know, has, you know, 1500 seizures a week. I mean, something outrageous like that. And, you know, you give her just a little drop of the cannabis oil and she's calm.
Yeah. Those videos get me every time. And the fact that people argue this as being on the same Schedule 1 as heroin or meth is just absolutely horrid.
No, there has absolutely been no recorded, I say again, no recorded evidence of marijuana being fatally addictive.
That's right.
Now, you may enjoy, you know, smoking it a lot, and then, you know, you eat a lot, you know, that's an addiction. But it's not anything that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
And that's just marijuana alone. You know, if you mix it with alcohol or other drugs, I mean, that's, you know, your business.
Yeah, that gets the rap sometimes too, when somebody gets in a car wreck or something and they test them. So, oh, they had marijuana in their system. I mean, that's like 30, 45 days, 3 days for some people, but that doesn't say anything.
Not really, no.
Yeah. What are the current like treatments outside of cannabis, right? What happens when you're diagnosed with MS? What goes down?
Well, the crazy thing is that because the illness is not, it hasn't been, you know, it's fairly new,
right,
in the medical world, as in like it's only been around since the 70s.
Man.
There, like I said, no cure. And originally when they had diagnosed me with it, it had been so advanced that the neurologist put me immediately on a drug, a IV transfusion drug.
Shit.
Uh-huh. For once a month, I would go and do this drug called Tysabri.
Yeah.
Now, this drug is very new. So new that it really is only recommended to individuals who have tried everything else and nothing works.
Last resort type shit.
Yeah. Well, after I had been on for it for about a year, they discovered that certain antibodies that are in, you know, people react to the drug,
yeah,
causes a fatal illness called PML.
What the fuck?
Pumaloma malab halab.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? And so if you have, you know, that, virus or that antibody or whatever, you are at risk for that.
So taking this medicine, if you have this certain diagnosis,
it's just it's a random, you know, antibody that, you know, some people have, some don't, doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't do anything to anything, but apparently it reacts negatively with this particular drug. And after I was on it for about a year and a half was when I had seen a new doctor, because I had moved to he asked me if I had ever been tested for the JC virus.
What was the original state of diagnosis? Where were you?
Oh, Florida.
Okay, so Florida was the original testing ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
figures, new drugs, Florida, of course.
Yeah. So,
and where'd you go for the second diagnosis? This doctor that asked you?
I was in Virginia Beach.
Okay. All right.
And this doctor, that I was seeing in Virginia Beach asked me, have you ever been tested for the JC virus? And I'm like, the what?
Yeah.
And he's like, come here, you know, and they pulled some blood work on me. And next thing you know, I get a call, the following day telling me that I am no longer to be taking or receiving the Tysabri infusions, and that I'm to stay off of anything for 6 months, let my body, yeah.
Did the PML thing happen?
No. Thank PML God. Is immediate death.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
It's so like the inside. Obviously. Yeah, the inside of your body explodes.
It's just done. Holy shit. So for a whole year, mm-hmm. the doctor didn't even think to go further. He just here, try a new drug.
They didn't. Well, the thing was, well, yeah. And I'm guessing it's because it was how advanced that the illness had become on me before I had been seen.
Okay.
You know, and that's probably why he jumped, you know, to that drug immediately. But once they pulled me off of that, they moved me to a daily injection called Copaxone.
Okay. Yeah, I heard about this. A friend of mine who's listening to this podcast actually wanted to, a friend of his or a member of his family is diagnosed with MS, and it was he was doing the shots like
yeah.
this.
And 7 days are they like, a week.
Like $800 a shot or something?
Yes, it's something ridiculous.
God.
I
a shot that people need to treat a diagnosis that's new, that's uncurable to help. What's the shot help do?
It doesn't treat anything. It just keeps it from moving. It keeps it from further attacking your body.
Okay, so it just stalemates it.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep people from dying then, essentially, really.
Potentially.
The shot, and they charge $800 fucking, I don't care if it's, I don't care if it's $200. If it's a daily shot for somebody, this is fucking ridiculous. And not ridiculous. Who wants to put a needle in them every day too? I mean, God.
Oh my gosh. They started me out with this auto injector thing that you put the needle in it and you stick it up against you and you hit the button. And it hits you and immediately shoots the injection in you. That hurts like hell. Oh my God.
And you do it every day?
I started with that. Yeah. And it was every day that I had to do it. And I actually have marks on my my legs and my hips.
From injecting?
Mm-hmm. Scar tissue just develops from having to do the injection so frequently. And yeah, it just... Now they've advanced the drug to the point where I can receive it now 3 times a week.
Okay, so they've made it stronger.
Yes, they doubled the dosage. So okay. It went from 20 to 40
okay.
milligrams.
Okay, and is it still just stalemating it? It's mm-hmm. not fighting it?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't even fight it.
Mm-mm.
And you're still paying probably more now because it's the advanced shot.
Well, the good news is that I get assistance from the drug company.
Okay.
They know that I can't afford it, so they provide it.
Okay. Well, fucking good to hear they're at least doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll shout out a good thing if they got the power to do it too. I mean, good for them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't want to put on Front Street who it is, but I would, you know, if it was all right, but at least somebody's doing that. So the shot is what we're shot in some test pills. Is this pretty much the front line of treatment for MS?
You know, the pills are fairly new as well, and I don't know how they work. And
I don't think they do either. If they guess how they work.
And there's injections that go with it as well, like other drugs.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you can just, you know, pop a once a day or 3 times a day even type of pill. And there's a lot of people who they're like, you know, I quit taking my medication and I've never felt better. And
no shit.
Well, yeah. But the thing is that the disease goes into remission.
So you start to think I'm good.
Mm-hmm. People begin to believe that they don't need it. You sure. know, because I'm not a big fan of drugs, you know,
yeah.
pharmaceuticals at all, especially injections.
But these are keeping people alive legit.
Pretty much.
That's wonderful then. I mean, that's the, you know, I did a podcast this morning and I'll talk a lot of shit about the modern medical system, mm-hmm. But not about its advancements. You know, what it can actually do is when those are overdone, prescribed to people that don't need them, the front line of treatment. But I did say this morning that advanced science still does some miracle shit. And mm-hmm. for those shots and for any drug company out there that is giving them away, you know, to people like you that need them, mm-hmm. That's a lot of love to still do that. I mean, hell, they make gazillions of dollars every couple minutes. I mean, the least they could do is give that out. But I'm glad that they're focusing on that. Is there more research going toward MS now? More awareness, more money, or are we just kind of...
The funding, I mean, really isn't there. I mean, the MS Society, they do their, their yearly runs.
5Ks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to raise money. But most of it is donation and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any like serious hardcore funding.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many things people are trying to fund and find out a way to do it. So, and that's where... Walk me through how cannabis came in your life from, I know your friend offered it to you, but you were experiencing how long, the shots and pills, et cetera, before this?
No, I hadn't even started any of that. We didn't, like, it was, gosh, it was at the very beginning, you know, and that's, like I had said, they had prescribed me the Oxy that had just set me out for the whole day.
So that was like the front line at the time.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was it? 2009?
Yeah.
Okay, so not long ago, the frontline treatment was to throw a fucking Oxycontin at it.
Pretty much. And I had a refill. I had got a refill.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wonder how people have drug problems with, you know, pharmaceuticals. Yeah. And that's the number one killer. They wonder.
Yeah. That's the first line.
Exactly. You know, doctors are prescribing this for adults or whatever, 18 and older, 21 and older, 30 and older, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You bring it to a household where there's an individual that's younger and curious, they're going to try it. And if they like it, they're going to try to go and sell it to their friends. And then their friends are going to try it. And then the next thing you know, we're getting, you know, OD reports because people, you know, they don't know how to treat, you know, take anything like that safely.
Yeah. And,
you know?
And most of these ODs, a lot of people don't realize that I think it's like 75% of overdoses, Dr. Stanfield would know more, but it's a high number that most ODs are actually when they're crossing over mixing drugs. It's fentanyl and heroin, it's oxys and crossing over with something else. And this is what's, you know, really causing the issue. And, you know, we talked about it, that, you know, there's good things to the pills and the science, but when it's the first line of treatment, when you throw that out there as a pain pill to people, look, I've said it a few times, and when I was working in the addiction facility, I'd have about 20 patients in there, you know, at a given time. I would say 10 of those people were just people that had a surgery. You know what I mean? They just, they hurt an ankle and got given, you know, Vicodin. And that's all that happened. You know, some of them had a serious surgery or something, or they're in chronic pain or something. And it started just like that. And that's almost half, I would say, of my group was that. They're not abuse, rape, or things that most people consider because they watch intervention too much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the real people that are just going, I don't know what happened. Yeah. You know, I just did that and came home, and that's dangerous. And so, cannabis, and then we were starting to talk about how that kind of entered, right? That you didn't quite get to the shots, or how it entered your life when you knew it started, it really helped you?
Well, the shots were just immediately given to me as to stop the progression of the illness. So the shots really,
right,
you know, didn't have anything to do with my choice to use marijuana. The pain that I have, the insufferable pain that I have in my back, from the damage to the myelin in my spine, it makes it really, really hard to function, you know, normally and operate. And
last thing was oxys, right?
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to do is sleep on it forever. You know, and that's what you end up doing when you take too much of it. So I definitely don't want to be a victim of, of abusive, you know, to drugs. And I don't want to contribute to the pharmaceutical companies making all this money off of us.
Yeah.
You know, because it's those of us that have these illnesses, you know, that plain and simple, you know, the drug companies run you dry. They take all the money from you so you can take, you know, drugs to treat your illnesses. And it gets you to a point where now you have all these, you know, prescriptions. You're not using all of them. What do? You sell them to make money because you're broke, because the doctor's offices and the drug and the pharmacies, everything, they cost so much. I've never done that, but I can completely see how it would be easy for, you know, an individual to do that. You know, it's just so easy.
It would. I mean, it leads chemical incarceration. That is kind of what I tagline it for, that process of treatment. Mm-hmm. But that certainly leads to incarceration. Mm-hmm. That's where it goes to. At the end, it's death, OD, incarceration, and a small percentage get off of it. You know, it's a lifelong battle. And yet we hold back cannabis, mm-hmm. which doesn't kill anyone, doesn't do anything. And we have a you right here and thousands others that, mm-hmm. that go, hello. You know, and instead it's the shots are okay. Take this pill that might fucking kill you if we don't test you for this shit. We don't know. That's okay. Roll that dice. Mm-hmm. But fuck the grain. You can't roll that dice.
Yeah, no. And, you know, just because they say it's illegal, you know, I guess that's from what I understand, okay, is that during Prohibition, marijuana was something that skyrocketed, took over in terms of the, you know, what the liquor and alcohol companies, you know, were doing. Mm-hmm. And so it took that over. Well, Prohibition ended. There were several senators and statesmen that got involved and were persuaded by these, you know, these...
You call them lobbyists, politicians,
alcohol companies.
Yeah.
You know, they you know, they're going to give them, you know, all this money and all sorts of different things for, you know, for making it illegal. And so, you know, not very far along, yeah. it was done.
It goes further. It actually goes further back to when hemp was competing with cotton. And, well, there are machines and slaves they needed. Well, the economy at the time was running on that. And so as hemp can make anything. And, well, so happened to be when they said, no, we can't have that. We need cotton. We got to use that. They outlawed hemp and that forward to the books, that being illegal. Mm. And so it stayed that way. And then they started putting propaganda out in the era that you're talking about, a prohibition, about who was using it and further. And they focused it on minorities. They focused it on especially the black population. There was even propaganda videos that it was making black people run around and rape white women. It was insane what they were fucking saying to keep this out and keep it legal. And we're still fighting it. It's amazing that we can damn near create, we can clone a monkey. You know what I mean? We can go to other planets with satellites and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why not? We can do all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But we can't fucking open weed. We can't say, yeah, smoke that. You know what I mean?
Well, and one of the things I was saying before is that, you know, it wasn't legal when I first started here. And I had told you that, you know, it was my mission.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I mean, I was on the news. I did everything I could. Excuse me. You're keeping me awake.
Must be an indigo. Yeah. But you were fighting hard. And that was, what, 2 years ago fighting. Mm-hmm. And where we, I mean, I know we're legal medical now. And you just got your card?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like?
It took 4 months. It was at the beginning of the legalization, which was, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took about 4 months for them to pull up my stuff, get it right. And I don't have a card. I have a piece of paper that says that it has my number on it or whatever. And because they haven't decided how they're going to do the cards yet.
Yeah, they don't have a registry yet. I know there's a company that created the registry in Canada that's talking to the state of Florida right now about organizing that as a registry they're going to use. A couple companies I'm talking to about what they're doing and how they're trying to get people to find doctors easily, you know, setting doctors up. So 4 months, when you obviously are diagnosed with something, it's actually even already been written in laws okay for. Mm-hmm. And it's still 4 months before you're allowed the medicine.
Yeah, and it just because...
Wait, but your first visit, you were allowed a pill that they didn't have no fucking research on. I'm just saying, just pointing out this shit.
Now, I have to find my card or my piece of paper of legalization looks like.
Yeah, careful showing it on camera. Those might may try to duplicate that shit.
All right.
Take the number.
I'm not showing it on camera. I'm just going to slide it over.
Oh, it was slided by. Yeah. So 4 months to get a piece of paper. So the process, is it similar to California, Colorado, et cetera, where you know, you go see the walk me through the process of obtaining a piece of paper.
Well,
first, it literally is. It's a fucking printed piece of
email. It was an email. Yeah. Yeah.
A fucking email.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The best email I've ever received.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Bananas. My bad. My bad. Okay. Okay.
Save your phone. That's why we got a wood table. Don't worry about that.
What about the... Okay.
Fuck it. We'll get a new one if it doesn't work. Who gives a shit? So what was it like getting the card? Walking through that?
Okay. So, well...
Don't get it wet.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Yeah, we're not going to lose that. But we should frame that, maybe put in some bulletproof thing.
I made copies.
I dig it. Of course. I did like 80 copies of that motherfucker.
Of course. What... And the email, like, forever saved in my inbox.
So how'd you find the doctor?
Well,
how'd you know where to go? Just, you know, do you go to your general? Do you just show up and go, no. Hey, dude, do you sell weed?
No. No. But I will be honest and say that I had told all of my doctors from the beginning that I had started using it to treat my pain. They all knew that I had been using it.
All right. That's, you know, I often wonder why people lie to their damn doctor. They go in, they did blow a couple weeks ago, and they're like, oh, no, I don't do anything. I'm like, tell the motherfucker so I can help you.
Well,
what they say.
I mean, the thing is that there are some people that I've met that, you know, have been honest with their doctors about their interest in trying to use it. And the doctors are like, no.
Really?
Yeah.
There's still idiot doctors like that?
Yeah, and those doctors are the ones that, you know, I'm thinking pharmaceutical, you know, representatives come and give them, you know, free vacations and stuff.
Yeah, well, they'd crack down on a lot of that shit.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, you never know on the back end, right? Who's really checking, you know what I mean?
You want to hear something awesome is if I become a lobbyist in Washington, because I do plan on taking this all the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to give out free blunts, free joints, vacations to Jamaica.
I like the fun spin you have to put on it because, you know, I think a lot of people can't get through the idea that it's medicine, that they're still stuck in this Reagan era of just say no, that it's the wacky weed, right, that kills you or makes you crazy or the gateway drug. I love it. You give as many beers as you want to at 7-Eleven, but that's the gateway drug, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you ask anybody... Well, anybody with a brain, you know, what the number one gateway drug is, it's alcohol.
Yeah.
Nobody starts a hard drug without ever trying alcohol.
Yeah, it happens a few, but you're right. Because it's easy access. It's the first grip, you know, and generally you're drinking that drops your decision-making skills. And you're like, you know what, fuck it, I'll snort
a
little.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then... You know, cocaine was not my thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of processed, you know, anything really.
Sure.
But.
I got a left field question. Does that help your diet and stuff like that? What you eat, what you choose to eat or don't eat? Does that help at all?
With
MS.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the choice of diet.
It does. And I should really be paying more attention.
Yeah.
A lot of different suggestions and recommendations, like on Facebook and stuff. There's different groups that have their own, you know, suggestions and recipes for different things. So I just try out a bunch of different stuff.
Sure.
The biggest thing is that when I was diagnosed, I weighed 80 pounds.
Holy shit.
I wasn't eating.
Couldn't even eat.
I didn't have an appetite and I was depressed as all hell. So I didn't care if I eat or not.
Sure.
And, you know, since I have received my prescription and had a regular, you know, supply of the oil, because that's what is legal, I have maintained an appetite. I've eaten at all of my meals and I've put on some weight. Yes. And that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing. So. Yeah.
That's declaring right here, everybody. You know, somebody at 80 pounds that's unhealthy and even depressed on top of it. You don't eat. You hang. And when it does give you the appetite to want to eat something to at least put it in your body to stay alive longer, to feel, then you feel better. That's just a domino effect.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the munchies, that's going to make you eat immediately. And, yeah. you know, when you're all of 80 pounds, it doesn't matter what you eat. You just need to put some calories on your body.
Yeah, and you can function. Mm-hmm. You can use that energy properly. Otherwise, it's just, I can see how so many people could easily just fall into a hole that maybe they're even stuck on the idea that cannabis is illegal, right? That it's a bad, you know, druggy thing that you can't do. Imagine those people that are still stuck in that.
And
you know?
I tell those people, you know, come talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, tell me, when we first met, you know, it wasn't that as though you were against marijuana, right. But you wanted it to be legal all around.
Yeah, decriminalization, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And I said, you know, medicinal is the first way to go.
That's right.
You know, we take baby steps.
You have to legally. You know, legally in this slow-moving process, we need that fight. The ones that are up front going, okay, first step, 6. You know, I think maybe, I was talking to a friend in the business, maybe 6-7 years we may see recreational in Florida, mm-hmm. something like that. I'm glad medicine's moving, but I wonder, I'm like, how fucking hard is it to get your shit together, people?
You know, I would call on like a monthly basis, you know, and I would sit on hold for an hour at least. And I would even be sarcastic and be, you know, ask the lady that finally answered, are you the only one answering phones there? We're like, what is going on? And she's like, no, there's an entire floor here in the Capitol that we work and we were all answering calls. Everybody wants to know. Everybody had questions and that showed me, you know, okay. People are curious. People want to know how they can get something that they heard can help them and not kill them,
yeah.
you know, or ruin their kidneys or liver or any of those things, you know, so that the urgent rush for everybody that, you know, they were contacting and trying to get their card as soon as possible, that was all going on when I had started.
Hmm.
Towards the end, I was only on hold for like 10 minutes. Yeah.
So they're preparing.
Yes.
Well, it's like the, I honestly think they're just preparing for the monopolization of the marijuana in Florida.
I can't wait.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's what, 14 licenses. That's it. So many stipulations being passed down. Who can? Basically, if you're out there and you still think you're just going to get a couple friends together and start a dispensary, you're out of your fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
You need millions of dollars to do this. And so a lot of companies I'm grateful for here have taken that risk. They've mm-hmm. taken the risk and, you know, invested, you know, upwards of 30, 40, 50, if not more, millions of dollars, hoping, you know, that it turns over. When you got fucking jerks like Jeff Sessions mm-hmm. doing what he's doing at the Capitol, we got fucking problems, man. And, you know, my hat's off to those companies that have come here, that have set up shop, that are trying to do it. So if I do start screaming monopolization, you guys are just playing by the rules that you're given. So if you're playing by the rules that are given, do what you got to do. But I don't know. It's I think the snail's pace is so somebody can own the market.
And honestly, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to think about it. I mean, unfortunately, but the thing that kills me, and I tell my parents on a regular basis, Mom, Dad, invest.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's going to explode. When it comes down, it's going to explode. And slowly but surely, they're starting to see more attention to it. And they're starting to, you know, my stepdad invested in like some sort of equipment for processing it. I don't know.
Sure. There's a lot of people getting into it. What I love is there's so many branches of it. There's custom built machines for processing the oil. I mean, there are $50,000 machines for that shit.
Jobs.
And yeah. Jobs, markets, medicine. How many you get? Jobs, market, medicine, and money.
Bam.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to figure some shit out.
What?
That's what they're saying. You know what I mean? Hold on. We got all four of those, but wait a minute. Take this pill first.
Yeah.
And it may kill you unless, or could be. We're not sure. It's trial. It's a trial drug. But it's okay. We got a slush fund to pay all those lawsuits when we get sued from those that do die. But please, God, don't smoke marijuana.
My sound is there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the headphone amp is
running low.
Yeah. Probably needs to smoke.
So,
well, you finish what you were talking. I keep interrupting. I keep squirreling you off.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you do that. And like, I have short-term memory loss, whether I'm high or not. And this is just part of the MS. So I'll forget where the hell I am in the conversation. So you're going to have to tip me off again. What was I saying?
Yeah. Well, I keep squirreling you off. I don't think it's memory. It's just me going, wait, what about? I want to know. What? Remember? So We were starting to walk how you got your card. And like, what about, was there the pain in the ass of the 4 months it was? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're calling. Like, I mean, do you just go to your doctor? How did you find your doctor? Walk me through that shit right
okay.
now.
Okay. So initially, the way the law is written here in Florida, you have to have a diagnosis from a doctor. Now, a diagnosis of an illness that is practical and under the amendment. So you would need, for example, to go to your doctor and have them say that, yeah, you do have multiple sclerosis. And yeah, you know, I think it would be a good idea that you try cannabis. Once you have that established, and the thing is that you don't get paperwork for all this. You just have to make sure that you have all of this in line, because even though you go to the pot doctors or whatever they're calling them now, all they do is recommend. They send the recommendations up to, like, I'm guessing the all of five people that work, you know, in the Office of Compassionate Use, which is a new office in up
Office
in
of Talent. Compassionate Use.
Yeah.
We're compassionate, so we're going to let you use this. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck, even in the name, it's arrogantly owned.
Dude, if you called, the intro message is like 2 minutes long. It answers all the questions that you might have if you were calling and had a stupid question.
Yeah.
But it's also answering all the questions you can find online as well.
Right, right.
So.
All right. So we got to find a doctor. How do you find a doctor that's doing that?
Well, I mean, it just depends on what you think, you know, is wrong with you. I mean, with MS, it's a specialist, you know, it was a neurologist.
So you get that specialist diagnosis. Then it's up to that doctor if they're going to even recommend it.
Right, but that doctor doesn't have to actively do anything. It's just a matter of when the state calls to see if they'd recommend it.
Mm.
You have to already establish that the doctor knows you want to be on it.
And recommends it. So if your neurologist is not a fan of it and Correct. You get diagnosed there, you're not getting it.
If I use that doctor as my reference.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That means you got to go get another diagnosis somewhere, which is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. So you got to know, that's what I mean. How do they know what doctors are pro it?
There is a on the Office of Compassionate Use's website, there's a ginormous list of all of the doctors that have received their licenses even.
That's good.
So you can, and they're not in any order at all. So you kind of have to go through all of them, you know, to find in your area or things, you know. I don't think they put it, you know, an alphabetical order by city, none of that nonsense, of course not.
Make it another step. If you really want to be on this, is what they're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, they really twist your arm, but you know what? In the end, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
So this process, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to finish. Seriously.
Call out number one.
Seriously. All right. So once at the time in which I had looked into applying for the license, I had already been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I had already been diagnosed with the depression and the anxiety. And, you know, there's all sorts of different things that I take medicine for. But once, you know, you have all that and you know that it's good for you, while I was trying to, you know, fight the fight, one of my girlfriends who works for the MS Society, we were talking and she referred this man's name to me and this company and this business or whatever, and said that she had just met with them and that they were looking to begin seeing patients to recommend for medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
And she said, you should give them a call. And I said, okay. So I did. And I went to go and I met with them. Now, the way the law is written, you have to have 3 appointments.
Okay.
The way it starts out is the first appointment's like $300. Jesus. The second appointment's like $200.
God.
Yeah. And then they're like $75 every appointment after that. And you have to go, once you get your quote unquote prescription, I believe you only have that for 45 days.
Jesus.
And then you have to meet with your doctor again so that they can add refills to your prescription.
And that's a, you know, that's a payment too. You got to go back and see the doctor again. So they're going to pull about a G out of you
Easy.
Before you see your first bit of oil.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
God. So it sounds to me like in Florida, though, by doing it this way, there are baby steps with medical, but it still looks like we can still keep incarcerating people for a black market, because a black market's still going to exist as long as it's 4 months with somebody with diagnosed MS to yeah. get oil.
You well, know? And that's the thing. Like, now that I have my diagnosis, I have my prescription, I finally get my email, I go to the dispensary, you know, and they tell me, you know, what they have, and they tell me to pick whatever I want. There is no specific order for anything, you know, only this much of that or recommending of this, nothing like that.
So you can buy as much as you want?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is just CBD?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is the way it works is, like, obviously the more you buy, the less expensive it is. Same way it is on the street.
Sure.
But each capsule, this little capsule thing.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know if you
can
see. Yeah,
so the little oil thing. Yeah,
yeah, I got you. It's practically empty, but I brought it anyways. These are $75. Now, at the beginning, you have to try as many different strands that they offer, because you don't know and the doctor doesn't know what works for what.
Yeah.
So you're saying, you're going in there and you're getting, you know, Girl Scout cookie oil. You're getting the, you know, the different blueberry kushes and stuff. All of that, it's listed, you know. Not as the street name, but they, in their little menu thing, it describes, like, it's H1C65, you know, B. Right. And then it tells you what it is on the street. So it kind of levels it.
Both. Is there one that you found that's really worked the best for you?
Well, I would like to say that I have now since tried 12 of these.
Yeah.
Okay. 12 of these to find one that I like. But now I can't afford to go pick it up yet until I get my money, my payment, my Social Security money, because I don't have any. I can't go pick up a refill. So what do I have to do?
Right back to the street,
mm-hmm.
which is the same issue that goes with Suboxone. Same thing that goes with any of those drugs that you get that become expensive. And then once you can't afford it, it's back. I mean, if it's Suboxone, it's back to the heroin. And then if you mix those when you're shooting, that's when you get deaths. I mean, so that's the reality of it, is the 4 months to get it with a full on diagnosis for years, mm-hmm. then to finally get it, then to be able to actually afford it after you've been drained for $1,000 or so in 4 months of time where you could have been not in pain or less in pain.
Well, and not to mention the only reason you're applying for it is because, you know, you can't work, you're in pain, you're struggling, yeah. you know, so you're not even going to be a productive member of society. You know, really, until you're able to get something that works. Now, like I had said, I had tried, you know, 12 different oils to get one that I kind of, you know, works pretty good.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, you know, at $75 a pop,
yeah,
that's a lot of money. And
what strain is it?
The one that I like is called Short Summer, Sherbert Summer, Summer Happy, something. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I think Sherbert Happy and Summer Happy, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Summer Sherbert Happiness.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a long strain. But are now in the CBD. So that's just for everybody that doesn't know, the CBD doesn't have any THC. It has a very small count of THC, but essentially the hallucinogenic or psychoactive THC is missing. So that's what CBD, and that's only what's currently legal in Florida currently right now, right?
Yes.
Just the CBD.
Mm-hmm. And you see, like, this one, I mean, I'm scraping the bottom of this, but you see, like, I just blew that at you. Did it smell like marijuana?
No, it smelled like some sort of candy thing or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we got non-invasive stuff now, easy to apply, easy to get, still expensive. It's the same cost as the street, the way I'm looking at it. I mean, I know what the street cost is versus what that is. It's the same thing.
It is.
So you're matching the same thing. It's just whether you got enough money to get through the doctor hula hoops. I mean, hell, to get Oxy, I just got to go to ER and say I hurt my fucking ankle.
That's how I got it the first time.
I can get a drug that can kill me and addict me for life if I just roll my ankle on a Sunday and go down. I'll get offered four or five different kind, depending on who I go see. But 4 months, 2 years diagnosed, never killed anybody, never does anything, and you can't get it for 4 months, much less be able to even continue to afford it when, I don't know, you could grow it at your fucking house.
That's where the newer amendments are being pushed, is to have it where you can grow it at home.
Yes.
The problem is that it's not legal for everybody. So once they say you can grow it at home, there's really no way for them to track that you, the individual who is ill, is growing just for themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, because plants, they produce, you know, a lot of flower.
Sure. And if you know what you're doing, a couple of my friends, shout out to the secret man out there. You know who you are. I mean, I'm not even going to put your code name out there because people know it. Yeah. And if you know what you're doing, you can turn it into a lot with a little.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, if we can grow tomatoes, motherfucker, I should be able to grow that shit in my house. You know, and plus it's federally illegal. So if you're growing at your house at any time, they could just go, we don't like you.
Yeah.
And the feds could rush your home or your business or your nursery if you're not, you know, legit on it.
Yeah. And they're not easy on you either. They arrest your ass like they're fucking on 9-1, you know, Reno, not Reno.
Yeah, it is, because that's how they fucking act.
Yeah. I mean, they throw you down. You're getting cuffed, you know, as though you're some sort of big drug lord, you know, pusher.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's insane to watch it's like some V for Vendetta shit. The powers that be versus those that are just trying to find medicine, you know, and make themselves feel better while being smart enough not to be or at least subject themselves to chemical addiction, to synthetic creations. And the fact there's so many hoops for people that need it, including, like we said, the kids with epilepsy, people with MS. I mean, all kinds. I mean, for anxiety, too. There's all kinds of different uses for it. I mean, heck, it's a performance enhancing drug in cycling and running. And I think it's jujitsu too, something like that. These are actually labeled as performance enhancing drugs, you know, so all the evidence is there. So I think we're kind of stuck right to the fence where we go, we get it. It's just corruption that's holding this. Like, we all get it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and I think it's the outdated corruption that all the new people are afraid to touch. You know, or get near or bring up. They just kind of let it go, you know, because that's, nobody's saying anything until now. Yeah. Until I got on TV.
Well, that advocate is necessary. The people that are really speaking of it, because there's so many people. I try not to get mad at those that just don't know, you know, that I've been brainwashed by the, you know, the DARE campaigns and, you know, people they knew. I knew this guy and he smoked weed and he was a bad person or did all this other stuff. You know, forget the fact maybe his life was shitty. You know, we focus on that. And I feel bad for those people that don't know, you know, and don't understand and even perpetuate. And I almost encourage people, if you don't know, don't perpetuate shit. Don't say anything. If you don't know, don't keep spouting what you don't know.
Pretty much.
You know, because they keep people away from fucking just being healthy, being able to be okay or feel a little bit better without risking your whole life to addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not a priority for doctors to keep you off of drugs in terms of pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
You know, the longer they can keep you purchasing what they get, you know, on the side for free, you know, it's a bonus.
Yeah. It's funny. It's almost like they rob themselves, because a lot of those funds that are paying for the prescriptions, these are Medicare, Medicaid's taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. And then you have the lobbyists that convince the politicians that are supposed to protect the taxpayers' money, mm-hmm. allowing those companies to, well, take that money. And so you're taking taxpayer money, and for a lot of people, Medicare, Medicaid, they're taking that away. So you got politicians agreeing with lobbyists to let them rob them. You know what I mean? Go ahead and rob them with our addiction facility. It's I don't know, man. I get nervous sometimes. Like, will it ever see a day where we just kind of open up all the gates and we stop, you know, let all this old propaganda shit go? And it's people like you, though, that are really going to keep that fight going.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be a matter of opening gates where it's going to be me kicking through the front door. Like, this is enough. Like, you know, I'm an American, and if I know that this is good for me and hasn't hurt anybody else and has so many benefits,
yeah,
I'm not going to be the one that's going to hold it back.
It seems like such a easy answer if I'm president for a day and I go, well, there, how do you fight the opiate crisis? Well, my first, it ain't going to beat it, but my first thing is to go, well, let's first legalize marijuana so people stop getting offered that. And that'd be my first step, at least that. And you're going to save some lives. You're going to save some that do take the oxy for a sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. Hell, they offered my, at the time, 15-year-old daughter 550 Vicodin because she sprained her ankle at the ER. I'm like, are you out of, what?
Yeah, exactly. What?
It's sad. Or is there anything that in the last, you know, you 2 years since you've, you know, been living with this and fighting, is there anything that you found that has helped you, that benefits you, that maybe people, you know, could find only if they dug in online or tried something, or some things that you've just kind of discovered maybe?
In terms of, like, instead of having...
Instead of maybe pills as an approach or something, just small little things you do that help you each day.
I mean... The biggest thing I do is get high.
Yeah.
The other things I use, like for pain, you know, I use some Tiger Balm,
yeah,
you know, on my back, you know, that helps.
Have you ever seen a thing called functional patterns?
Mm-mm.
I got to introduce you to somebody over at FP.
Mm-hmm.
They do some pretty innovative, a friend of mine, Naudi Aguilar, the founder of it, has been on a bunch. But they work with people with MS, people with crooked spines, back injuries and stuff. And they perform miracles. They really do. They perform miracles and keep people out of the surgery knife.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's amazing shit. It really is.
That sounds amazing.
Always sounds good, doesn't it? Always sounds good when we say something over here. But it's true, man. They do some pretty wild shit. I think mixing some of that would help.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing. Like, I've really been distracted with all this stuff that I haven't been focusing on, you know, working out, eating right, you know, doing the right things.
Somebody's got to be in the trenches, though.
I know.
You know, somebody's got to be up there. I mean, is that what you want to do? You want to be a lobbyist spokesperson for a cannabis company or a representative of some kind?
Yeah. For right now, I'm a representative of the patients.
Yes.
You know, and then once we get, you know, what we need, you know, we'll move forward. But, you know, for starters, we just have to, you know, start develop. They have to start growing and mixing and doing what they need to do to the, you know, to the different plants to provide different relief for different illnesses.
Does the THC help or hurt or increase it? Would you, if you could, do you prefer CBD or THC? Full on.
I don't know. I mean, CBD, they're too, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, the CBD is strong in the medicinal side.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they don't, and THC, there isn't really THC in any of it.
Right.
So, you know, I don't even feel what relief that could provide, if any.
Yeah, so the psychoactive stuff. So it's really, I mean, obviously the psychoactive is in the THC when you smoke it. But as far as MS symptoms, is it any different or any better with THC or without?
The pain is a little bit less intense. You know, I can get out of bed.
On the CBD or THC?
The CBD.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get out of bed. You know, I have a little bit more motivation because I want to function.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, about it is just so great, you know, just because it's not hurting me, you know, because I'm not in pain. That was, you know, one of the hardest things about, you know, when I was diagnosed is because I was in so much pain and I was falling constantly.
So it's more injury.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to update you that I have since now also been diagnosed with what's called vestibular migraines.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is a headache of some kind of torture.
Yeah. I don't know exactly, but, you know, I'll have pain like in my ears or things like that. And, you know, I'm seeing an ear, nose, and throat specialist that has me on different drugs, but he too also is a fan of using marijuana.
Does it help with those headaches?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
No kidding. I wonder, have anybody said anything like maybe it's something from MS or just showed up too? Maybe a side effect from one of the drugs or something?
Well, because Interestingly enough, vestibular migraines are a newer diagnosis, much like MS. They're only recently establishing them in different people. So, you know, whether or not it's related, I have no idea.
Yeah, so they don't know either. So everything is new in you, literally. My gosh. But, you know, I like talking about you and I when I talk about the show and stuff. But I think it's the attitude that you manage to carry continually. I stand in awe of, you know, you remember that speech? You came and gave a speech at Fusion XL when there was like six of us that did some speeches.
Yeah.
You murdered that shit. And, you know.
Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. We have the video somewhere. Steve does. We have it. But we have to get that from you. But, you know, do you carry an attitude of positivity, you know, or optimism more than likely, and almost a fight spirit to you at the same time, you know? And I don't know. I stand there and go, fuck, I don't know if I could do that.
It is definitely something that was acquired.
Mm.
You know, at the beginning, it's terrifying, you know, but it gets to a point where it's like, I remember how much fun I used to be. What happened? And so, you know, and I start taking steps to get closer, you know, to that person again.
Yeah. The rebirth is something, I don't know, it's a hero story really to watch. You know, as somebody takes on something so tough to learn about themselves by no choice of your own. You didn't even get to fucking choose, you know? You didn't have a fucking choice. And to take that on and then not to crawl in a hole and die, to find reasons to fight, to stand up for others, to keep pushing beyond that. It's a beautiful thing.
It's primarily because I found, you know, something that helps, that, you know, is helpful and it's safe and it's being ignored, you know, plain and simple.
So it helps you actually, I mean, it relieves the symptoms so you can live, so you can be you. But you can't get in the. This is a fucking simulation world we live in.
It is. It is.
I swear to you, it is. This is crazy. So tell me more. What else is up? Give me some cannabis info or some legally info.
Legally info.
Yeah. I made that word up totally.
I know, totally.
People out there too that may not know, you know, something you learned in your process. You go, hey, by the way, don't call this number. By the way, don't do this or email this. You know, what's something you kind of learned in this process of getting registered, if you will?
Well, one of the biggest things is don't give up. And I always say that, never give up, because it's not going to be easy. Anything worth having is hard. You know, they make it very difficult and they want to make sure you really want it. You know, and in fact, they even get to the point now that, you know, even though you get the prescription, now it's a matter of, can you afford it? Again, they want to make sure you really want it. And, you know, when I don't like being told no, personally. So when I find something that works and what works is illegal and there's no good reason behind it, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to change that. And, you know, that was really, that was my pusher, you know, because I had MS, because, you know, I saw how hard it kicked me down, you know, because it really does. You don't even realize what's happening to yourself. I mean, you become a completely different person. You know, the depression is overwhelming. The anxiety is overwhelming. And you have no idea why. Zero. You know, and as we talked about before, I had said, you know, I went to rehab, you know, thinking they thought I had a drinking problem.
Yeah. That shit floored me on that on that podcast that everyone thought you were quietly an alcoholic and using, and you actually got put into a recovery fucking facility. Oh, wait, it's MS. That's how quick those tentacles of the fucking system will grab you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't even like, you know, before we check you in, why don't you go meet with your doctor first or anything, you know, go see what he thinks. You know, there was nothing to that. They pretty much were like, here, come in, lock it up. I mean, I couldn't go home and get any stuff. I couldn't, you know, it was just complete isolation. So I don't necessarily think those are the best way to handle people that have problems. And I think that if we did have marijuana legal, I think we would have less individuals with those types of heavy drug problems, because they're going to find relief in whatever it is they're seeking, you know, by using the marijuana medicinally, whatever. Yeah. Everybody's got something, you know, and it treats a little bit of everything. I mean, every plant is different. So, you know, when somebody says, oh, I smoked it and it didn't do anything. Well, if you bought it off the street, you know, you have no idea what strand you smoked. You have no idea, you know, whose hands it's been in or any of those things.
That's one of the things that I is the double. That's the dualism for me, because as much as I hate the monopoly of the substance we could grow here that naturally exists, you know, I do like the idea of some sort of regulatory system, because, I mean, for those of you that may not know out there too, I got a little inside info. One of the best growers in the world is a good friend, and a ton of marijuana, if not all of it, in Colorado that's coming out has all of these little rare diseases and bacterias on it, these tobacco poisons that's happening to it. And a lot of that marijuana that's growing out there is really bad. And they're dumping it and spreading it around. And this is one of those things that when it isn't regulated, you wind up with some shit that you don't know. And hell happened to me. You know, I wound up with something that I'm like, what the fuck? The smell of it, you know, you go, no, you just don't. And so there's, you know, that I understand. We're like, yeah, let's regulate it so you know what you're getting. But even then, right, I can go to Publix and buy food and I don't know what the fuck I'm getting. And, you know, I know what it tells me I'm getting. So I don't know how far you can even manage really to check to know what you're really getting, unless you're growing it, right? If I'm growing my broccoli, bitch, I know it's fucking organic.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's true.
No, that's a good way to put it. Definitely. You know, and these dispensaries, they're, you know, they're balling.
Yeah. Well, and no bank to put the money in.
Mm-mm. That's the other thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they do open the gates and everybody's spending the money trying to get there, now you got armored cars and ex-military black ops dude transferring your money. It's like the movie Heat's happening. You know, you can't put your money anywhere. You got to use a Canadian bank. I think some Colorado banks now take it. So you got to put your money in a Colorado bank, and then your company is an international company. And then even then, it's fishy. You know what I mean? And who knows? The government could show up and be like, oh, according to stipulation 6020.2, you're going to jail right now. You know, and my hat's off again to those growers and those companies that took the risk, and they're risking being federally raided. I mean, they're risking that shit with millions of dollars, and they're heroes too.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, absolutely. And they're, you know, one of my heroes, because they're doing it to help us. You know, I don't care if they're making lots of money. I don't, you know, it's just like a pharmaceutical company, you know, except for it's not killing me.
Fuck, that's right. I love that you said that the growers, the ones, because the growers I know and talk to, you're talking about passionate, you know, for why they do it. You know, these aren't the like some see hippie dreadlocks, whatever, that don't give a shit. They're just trying to get high. I love that dude too. You know, but these, when you talk to them, they may look cool, like we're just hanging out with hats backwards and chilling. But they either A, know their shit, and B, they start, it's for the love of the medicine. It's because of the people like you, the kids we talked about, the growers I know. That's their love. That's their focus. And even some nurseries, the actual companies that are doing it, that's why they're risking all that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And they're not quiet about it either.
You can't be. Shit, mm-hmm. I spend that much money. I'm still sitting here 4 years later. You know, was it 2 years later? Been legal, what, a year, 2 years now on the CBD side. I still don't have a law on how I'm supposed to sell it, how I get it to the people. I mean, right now there's, the law changes every other day. Like if you deliver it, then you got to take an inventory of it. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have to, you know, it has to be like a certain individual who's legalized to carry, you know.
Yeah. But meanwhile, it takes the OxyContin Express documentary to reveal to us there's things called pill mills.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's fucking ridiculous out here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just banking.
Yeah.
Banking. But they're fixing to start doing low on business.
I don't know how drunk I was on the podcast when I said it, but I do remember saying it. Funny that I was drunk, right? But the, well, I guess probably not. But I said, you know what? Here's what I could happen if it's a scenario, right? The alternate Disney movie ending. If What if the government, if enough of us are out there, like, which is really actually happening. I remember when I went on Joe Rogan in 2015, there was about two people actually talking about mental health and diagnosis issues with pills and problems like that. And now, gratefully, it is out everywhere. People are talking about it. And I wonder how much, you know, it'll move to where everybody knows, you know, where we're going, you're fucking killing us, you're addicting us, right? Kind of like back in World War II, so many people died. We want nothing to do with war, you know. So how many of us will actually be affected by somebody with addiction to where we all finally go, whoa, whoa, we know what you're up to. And then the federal government can go, we're now going to be the heroes. And we're going to find the pharmaceutical companies, dismantle those companies, bring them into the government house. And now we've legalized marijuana everywhere. Isn't the government the shit? And then everybody goes, yes, thank you. And then the dispensaries are owned by those, right? Maybe, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to look at it.
I hope. I was just hoping. It sounds good again. It sounds good.
Oh, man.
Well, let's wrap this up a little bit. I got a podcast rolling in at 4 o'clock too. And, you know, before we go, is there, I know how you already spoke to those that are in your shoes, you know, et cetera, but maybe if the world is a platform, the mic can reach it. You know, what would you tell society, those listening, everyone really about, you know, cannabis, what it's like, maybe somebody dealing with MS2 who just found out, cause you were talking about that. I almost came to tears. You were talking about, I could almost, you know, I can't understand experience because I'm not you, but that empathy to be able to try to, but maybe somebody that's, you know, just found out or doesn't know what to do. Maybe that's an angle for you.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And remember that there's always somebody out there that's going to give you an answer. May not be the answer you want to hear, but there's always somebody that's going to give you an answer. So find it. And if it's not the answer that you like, change it. And that's what I'm doing.
That's what you've been doing. You look, I have to say, you look better than 2 years ago. Yeah. And the reason I brought that up about the film, because it wasn't on it, what you were trying to keep it together as we were talking, you know, and I wanted people to see it because I could watch you take the cannabis and you were, I could see that. And it was a shame that people couldn't see that. And this time, whatever, you are 10 times better than 2 years. And so whatever you're doing, keep doing that.
10 times better. What do you mean?
You look healthier. You look better. You're smiling more. And frankly, it looks like you're kicking MS's ass because you were struggling to hold a sentence without stutters on the first show. You would shake more and I could watch you start to shake then have to smoke and go back. And this is night and day.
I mean, I still shake.
But no. Girl, this is night and day from 2 years ago. So whatever.
That's good to hear.
No, I mean that.
That's really good to hear. I appreciate it. I do because, you know, I went from, I feel like being at the top to being dragged down to the bottom, you know, and now I'm just walking back my way back to the top, getting myself back to where I was, where I want to be. You know, I'm not going to let anything take me down. That's for damn sure. You know, and that's how I had to look at it. You know, people sometimes are like, oh, you know, don't people ask you about it or don't people want to know? And I'm just like, I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter because you know what? I'm living. I'm pushing through it. I've got answers. So don't be scared. Don't give up. It's not the end. It's not. Just as much as I thought it was, I'm still here and I'm making changes.
I think you're winning. I appreciate you sharing and fighting and being an advocate for those in the experience that you're in and doing that. That's a change warrior in my book. And whatever you're doing, keep doing more of it and do it louder. And, you know, we're open anytime you ever want to talk or reveal something or get it out there. So thanks for coming on and sharing.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to Channel 9. They seem to like me the best.
Have you been on Channel 9 a lot more now?
Oh my gosh. I've been on them like six or seven times.
Oh.
And different reporters now are calling me to interview. So that's even more exciting.
Well, look, I hope somebody hears this podcast and goes, hey, I want to talk to her. Bring her on my podcast, because what you're talking about, the true experiences, what it really does, this isn't some article shared on social media. This is right from the person experiencing it and going through, and it's saying it. And I hope somebody listens to this and brings you on their show. If you have a show out there and you listen to this, reach out to myself. We'll get you her information. And please bring her on the show. This information is imperative, that experience, that people hear this, that politicians hear this. Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share on your cast or show.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Thank you.